Hello and welcome to Through the Turnstiles as we take an in-depth look at the lower leagues of Scottish football. Week one games are over and some fantastically interesting results in there. Joined as always by Muzz and James. How are you, boys?
No bad.
Yeah, good.
Sum up the first round of fixtures in one word, Muzz.
Mental.
James.
How fun.
Okay, so thanks very much for that. Join us. Nah, my John. So what we'll do this episode is we'll just have a quick look at the results. We'll just cherry pick a couple of interesting ones from the games at the weekend just gone. And we'll take a look. There's some massive fixtures actually already. I'm liking a look at Stirling Albion Celtic Hearts in League Two as a massive game for next weekend. So as always, before we get into it, if you could do us a massive favour and like the video and subscribe to the channel, that would help us massively if you're watching on YouTube. As always, any constructive criticism, feedback or thoughts, let us know on Twitter, at Turnstiles there, or in the comment section on YouTube. Before we get into it, Muzz, wee bit of fan interaction for you at a game on Saturday. You spotted somebody with celeb spotting at the pie.
Aye, that's right. I managed to get a chat with David from Cove Rangers.
Did you buy him a pie or did he buy you a pie? Was there no pies partaken?
There was no exchanging pies whatsoever. I was going to get down at half time and catch up with him again, but I was kind of like hemmed in by loads of people right up against the side of the sort of like stand wall. So, mm-hmm. And it was a bit, you know what it's like up there? It was a bit breezy, a bit windy.
It just huddled for warmth, man.
It was going to be too much to hobble down. I was making some half time notes as well. So apologies, David.
How's the COVID shake gone down? Have you gone to like handshake into fist bump, or have you elbowed it or just nodded at each other?
It was a bit of a. I've gone in with a. Well, I've approached him from the toilets and he's spotted me coming.
Who are?
He's not. Oh, aye, that was separate. I came out the toilet before, just to clear that. And he's approached me without a mask and I've been wearing the mask. So I think that's thrown him. And at the last minute, I've put my hand out. And then he's gone to think he's got his mask on, so I better put my mask on, which I didn't mean to. I wasn't bothered about the mask particularly. But so I've gone in the handout, he's busy putting his mask on. During that time, I've like retracted my hand and he's got to put his hand out. So it ended up being a kind of a fist bump to his bare hand. And then we've gone and laughed it off, gone at the elbow and... Whatever you have to do.
So if any of the listeners or viewers are at any games, let us know. Let's say in the comments on Twitter, if you want another awkward encounter like that, then by all means, we're game for it. Now, we're at games across the country every week, so let us know where you're going to be. And also, if you were at a game or are going to a game, let us know your thoughts. Obviously, for some listeners, it probably was their first game back for over a year, potentially. So let us know what you thought of it. Was it good to be back? I suppose that would be result dependent.
It was good to hear his feedback as well, because he's given you some decent little nuggets,
We'll go League One just now, actually, then we'll skip back to the Championship and League Two after that. So, how was the game, Muzz? Obviously, one each, Falkirk playing under duress.
Yeah, but they were...
Did they look like they were under duress, or did they look all right?
Not really, they looked pretty determined, Falkirk. They looked a lot more... positive than they were at tail end of last season anyway. They looked relatively unaffected by the week they had, because the players that were on the pitch, the majority of them, still a strong 11 that they managed to put out, and they looked fit and they were really not giving Cove any time on the ball, which I think is key to getting the better of Cove, because they're such a good passing team. They've got so many midfielders that are so good on the ball that getting in their faces is kind of like your only option. I think Falkirk did that really well. David shared some pretty good feedback with us actually after the game, saying that he thought Cove looked pretty disjointed.
How did they shape up, Muzz? Because see, looking at it, it looks like they've got five boys whose preferred position is almost as an eight, like centre midfield, kind of box to box. How's he shoehorned the likes of Yule, Draper, Vigors, Fivey, even Leach in?
I think he's had Fivey playing sort of behind the striker, pushed him forward to.
It's not his game,
accommodate.
Is it, really?
Nah, and that hence he was subbed off because he was pretty, in the end, a bit ineffective. But even more ineffective, I thought, was Draper. Mm. He looks like he's towing a caravan.
It's almost time for him to go to centre half, I think.
Aye, exactly. I think he would be a cracking centre half. I completely agree with that. They hit that Fivey was pushed forward to accommodate him and Vigers deeper. And I thought you would be maybe as well taking Draper off that game, pulling Fivey back, maybe putting Scully on through the middle. Or, yeah, they were a bit disjointed, to quote David. I thought he was spot on there.
You think? But
credit to Falkirk.
Do you think Falkirk still had some guys coming back to fitness? Because I'd expect the likes of Leon McCann to start most weeks, the same with Hetherington. So I don't know, yeah. I'm speculating here, maybe they've had COVID or missed training due to being a contact or something and just weren't fit enough to start.
Yeah, you never know, like, for sure, and you don't want to suggest that, but it would appear they were maybe either affected by it or affected by the lack of training from isolating whatever way, because yeah, I thought Cammy Williamson for a young left back came on and I thought he did well and didn't take any risks on the ball. He looked a bit nervous, understandably, but I thought he gave a good account of himself.
I wasn't sure if he was left back or right back, because I thought Miller might have played central with Hall and Dixon on the left, but Miller on the right.
Dixon and Hall in the middle, Miller on the right. And Williamson did well, and I think he's just I don't know if he cramped or he's taken an injury, but he didn't look match fit, but I thought he didn't disgrace himself, did really well. You would expect McCann to start when available.
Good to see Falkirk getting some youth back now, isn't it? Because obviously there was the controversy with their academy, James, but it looks like they've got like a development squad now and they've signed some young players, and that's obviously Williamson's come in. I think he only signed for the development squad like the week before or something. So it's good to see them getting back to basics, I suppose, what they were kind of renowned for a few years ago.
I think you've got to in that league, because they've tried basically everything else in their sort of spell lower down of signing the veterans and then signing the young English boys. And I think if you're serious about it, and Falkirk seem to be quite a serious like top to bottom club, or certainly used to be, you just need to go, this is how we're going to play. Like, this is the Falkirk way. And you start ingraining that in the young boys, you start bringing them up through the ranks to play the way you want. And then you just fit in managers, or you fit in any players you lose around that. So to try and get out of that league, I think they've come to the realisation that, like, we can't just throw money at it constantly. We'll supplement the key areas with really good players. And then other than that, we need to just source players from elsewhere. And why not bring players through yourself, or why not buy young who you think can step up? Because, you know, the top end of League One's quite a good standard, but the rest of it, we're better really to learn your trade, because it's not the stereotypical League Two sides where you're getting kicked all the time. It's not the Premiership or the Championship where some folk play rapid, expansive football. It's a good level. So I think it's key. And I think, just to touch on the issue with fitness and things, I think it's telling that the goals were scored later on in the match, just in terms of where boys will be dropping off from both teams, because it was day one as well. And you can't imagine it's only Falkirk who've been hit with COVID or with any sort of isolation in that. So I just wonder if we'll see more sort of drab first halves throughout the season, put it all sparks up into life in the second half.
It was interesting, because I'm going to take full credit for this, that I'd put Clyde as ninth. You boys had Dumbarton ninth, both of you. Muzz made the last gasp bid to switch Clyde and Dumbarton, was unsuccessful, unfortunately. So I feel my decision was justified by that result on Saturday. There's a few surprises in that league, actually, but I fancied Dumbarton, but a 3-0 Muzz, you didn't expect that on opening day, although you've been relatively critical of the Clyde defence, haven't you? And Balotone especially, that own goal wasn't the best viewing for him on Saturday.
No, we just clocked the goal a wee bit earlier there, and yeah, it's a bad own goal. It ball zipped across the front of the goal line that he should really be dealing with, putting it the other way. But I'm at least you could see, you called it right, but you could at least see what I was trying to do. So, and you can see why. But so just trying to get it changed at the last minute was a statement of intent on my behalf.
Both those teams have got interesting games at the weekend, obviously. Clyde go to Montrose, who'll be flying after that result they got against Airdrie, which for me was a surprise of the day. And Dumbarton actually play Airdrie. So as an aside, that's a good kind of slot into that result. James, probably the biggest surprise of the day in League One, Airdrie, because we all backed them to do well. You had them fourth, Muzz second, myself third. But great result for Montrose.
See, before we talk about that, across the board, I've had Montrose 7th, who've won. I've had Dumbarton 9th, they've won. I've had Peterhead bottomed, they've won. Like, already my predictions are terrible.
I think I was looking at that, and I think Championship have done relatively well. Obviously, Kelly got the win. We've all backed them relatively well. You've backed Dunfermline, who sticky in League One, League Two. Aye, League One was the worst for our predictions early doors.
Aye, it's day one, but aye, the Airdrie Montrose game was. I don't know what's happened because it seemed like it was a relatively even game, apart from the scoreline, and it's day one, so it doesn't seem like it's been a steamrolling from Montrose. It doesn't seem like Airdrie just haven't turned up.
It seems
not
to me
or really seen it, but it just seems like I don't know if it's quality of certain players or it's one that, you know, we talk about Montrose being a really well run team across the board, but I certainly didn't expect them on day one against Airdrie to come out and run rampant.
Is it that consistency, Muds, that we've spoken about before? Because you look at the Montrose team, like Fleming was there last year, Alan Waddle, Dylan, all there, Steves, Masson, Webster, Callaghan, Milne, Rennie. In fact, I think the only new addition was Watley in the starting 11, but it looked to me that it was the times of the goals that kind of killed their draw. You know, you hope to get off to a good start, Montrose score after 10 minutes, you get in at half time, you come out, and then Montrose score 5 minutes after half time, and then so the game's kind of any momentum Airdrie had after half time's killed off relatively quickly.
Yeah, it's hard to it's hard. You know what's coming with Montrose in this league, and it's hard to stop it because they are so efficient and they are so well drilled, and they play with each other. They've played with each other 2-3 seasons now, the vast majority of them. Yeah. So they're not going to go away this season. They're going to be up there. But I think results like that were just, they're quite characteristic of this league, you know, shock results, yeah. Teams beating each other home and away, upsetting the previous odds, you know, things like that. So there'll be a lot more scorelines like that to come from. And it's no disaster for Airdrie, you know, Alloa dropping points, Falkirk, Queen's Park only drawing, Cove drawing. So the teams that you're expecting to be around Airdrie, not, you know, coming out the blocks completely either. So just need to kind of false start, go again.
By the sounds as well, I've just checked some stats there, and if you look at the save stats, David Hutton for Alloa's one appearance, obviously 5 saves he's made, which is, you know, an impressive feat in that Peterhead game. But Alan Fleming, Montrose's 4 saves as well. So maybe it does come down to individual sort of performances like that tend to balance one way or other, because like I say, it's not been like Airdrie have been completely outclassed. Muds is right as well, it's almost like a reset, but you come up against a goalkeeper who's like in that sort of form, then, you know, if he'd let all them in, it's a completely different game. It's 4-3 and 3 points and we're not sitting here.
James, Alloa must be the bookies' favourite team of the season so far. They got beaten off Cowdenbeath and Brechin when they'd be favourites in the Betfred. They beat Livy when they'd have been outsiders. They drew with Rafe when they'd have been the outsiders. So the league starts. They then lose against Peterhead when they'd have been the heavy favourite. So what's happening? Like, it's a decent team. Looking at the team they put out, you know, Troughton's in there, Scougal, King, Stephen Boyd, going back to Peterhead, obviously not a great result for him. But Barry Ferguson will not be happy with that.
No, and I don't know who thinks I was going to go into it to take massive control and to show their quality of being the championship team coming down, because they weren't great. But like you say, if you look at some of the players they've got, very, very good individual players, but come together as a team, it's just not working for them. Look to have played a different shape a wee bit than they played last time. Maybe they're looking to play a little bit different with Salmon up top. They're, you know, they would play that passing football, but I don't know if they've now got away for that.
They're more direct. They play a bit with King and Scougal, but they're happier to go direct now, like from when I've seen them, for maybe the last 8 years. Like, for a long time, they've been a team that's played on the deck, but when I saw them, they were happier. And teams sometimes do that with Salmon. It's easy just to get the head up and just put it in a channel, because he's quicker than he looks, Salmon, and he'll chase it. So it's easy just to do that. Muzz, you like Russell McLean. What a start for him. Surprised he didn't go higher when he left Montrose.
I know. Aye. When he left Montrose, you're thinking, right, something's lined up there.
Even a Queen of the South or an Arbroath or something, I thought.
Aye, for a big guy. Although he's not massive, he's quite thin, but he's tall, good target man. Really improved last season. His all-around play, his hold-up play. So I was expecting our Championship club to take a punt on him, definitely. Either that or possibly a Cove or somebody with a bit of money in the same league. But he's gone to Peterhead. I think he's been there before. Obviously, just like, I don't know, you know, likes how they do things. Maybe feels at home there. So knows he's going to get a run of games as well. He's going to start every week, really, isn't he? So, what a way to get yourself going.
And both teams.
I would be interested to see how many of his goals have come from headers, because, like you say, Muzzy, does lightweight, like build wise, he seems that in that way. Certainly a tall player. So you wonder if they're, what's the difference when you've got two tall players in teams that might go direct? Then why has it worked so well for Peterhead but not so well for Alloa? Like, because you're looking enough, behind them, it's much of a muchness. So.
Funnily enough, James, whenever I've seen Russell McLean, I've always remarked that he doesn't use his head much. I don't think he prefers to lean in to defenders. Or rather than, you know, for a big guy, it's one of those, like, a bit of a cliche, but for a, he's what is he, 6'4", but when he's 5'5" when he jumps.
He jumps 5'10". He came through it. He came through at Hearts, didn't he, when they were very much like with Corker and that, like, get a ball on the deck, pop it. So you wonder if coming through that Premiership Academy, Hearts never really went long with that age group. They always tried to play, but Callum Morrison was in that team, for example. So you wonder if just from that development, the way he's came through, he's not used to Hearts very really with the went direct. So you wonder if that's just not part of his game.
That's a great point, because it doesn't detract much from his game, not using his head much. He's still.
So two teams that probably would have taken a point before kickoff, East Fife and Queen's Park, one each, shake hands, you know. East Fife off the board, Queen's Park coming up a division, one of the trickier places to go to, take a point, move on. So before we move on, predictions then. In a word for this weekend, James, this is your chance to make up for your overall league position. So this week, some tasty games, actually. Alloa, East Fife.
Alloa.
Dumbarton, Airdrie.
Oh, we're going through them all. Airdrie.
Falkirk, Peterhead.
Falkirk.
Montrose, Clyde.
Motown.
Absolutely. And Queen's Park, Cove. Another interesting one for Cove.
Draw.
Muzz, Alloa, East Fife.
I'm not going to be a million miles away from you, James. Alloa.
Dumbarton, Airdrie.
Airdrie.
Falkirk, Peterhead.
Falkirk. But the devil in me wants to say draw.
I'd pencil you in for Falkirk. Montrose, Clyde.
Montrose.
And Queen's Park, Cove.
Draw as well.
Exact same as James then. Yeah. I'm going to mix up a bit. I'm going to go draw in Alloa, East Fife. I fancy Airdrie. Fancy Peterhead to get a draw, you know.
Yeah.
Montrose, Clyde, Montrose all day. And I fancy Cove down at Queen's Park, right down at Hampden. If they can get they're not. Where are Queen's Park playing now?
I think they are Hampden for another. Oh, no, they're at Firhill. What am I saying?
Decent surface back Cove. I was going to say good surface at Hampden. Vigors will get on it, but Partick surface is looking decent, by the way. So I fancy if Vigors can get on the ball and they tweak their shape slightly, I think they'll cause Queen's Park problems, you know. And Cove don't go 2 or 3 games without a win very often, so a lot of averages for me. That. So as with Cove, we'll go to Partick. 3-2 win against Queen of the South, Muzz. Brian Graham, love scoring goals, isn't
it? I tipped them to be both teams actually to be up and about the end of the season. You can't say anything about that after one game. Like,
in Muzzy's opinion, this was 3rd v 4th come the end of the season.
Aye, and both goals in them. We know about Queen of the South kind of defensive woes. I was going to talk about them a bit more. They've got, like, last episode anyway, they had Ewan East, you know, playing centre half when this was during the Betfred when they still had fewer players than they've got now. And, you know, Paul Mackay wasn't fit, and I think they just didn't, they'd lost quite a few. They'd lost Buchanan, things like that. So Johnson's just totally mixed it up, and he's crowbarred in Ewan East centre half, and it's been a bit of a revelation, I think. and he's put Ndidi along there beside him, who
and Mackay is not started a Saturday, didn't he?
Either by trade, he's more a right back sort of. But some he's played holding midfield before as well, but now that Mackay's back in, it's not changed it up. They're going back three, I think, now, and they've got East and Ndidi either side of Mackay. So the centre half gamble with these two players is working to an extent. It's not probably not ideal. They've got this guy in from down south who I think he was a Benfica used product. Is that
Chima or Debayo? Yeah, I can't remember which one.
So that's an exciting signing. Like that's come out of nowhere.
It's up there with Morton signing a Champions League, a player who played in the Champions League.
That didn't go so well, but you know, you still do get that was advertised very. I did check, you know, second time in the week I mentioned Training Standards, but for that advert with Morton,
two of your, I'm not going to say favourite players, but two players you've got a bit of an affinity with, Muzz, in the Championship, Notching, Tiffany and Peyton. Peyton's off the flyer, isn't he?
Yeah, and put Willie Gibson as three. I love Willie Gibson. He's like Benjamin Button. He's just like gets faster and stronger with age and better.
Did you see his interview with McCall post match?
Aye, that was classic.
I'll not repeat it here, but if any of your listeners or viewers haven't seen it, try and get a wee clip of Willie Gibson's post match with Ian McCall in the background.
Fanny's not really a swear.
It's worth a look.
Cut that if you want.
Nah, I'm not cutting it.
I like big Ruben Jr. for Queen of the South as well. Talking about guys that are, you know, we're just talking about Russell McLean.
Yeah.
Big guys who have got more to them than just, you know, sticking the head in it. This guy's got some good hold-up play. He likes to pull wide as well, zip the ball across goal to create chances for other people. And Lee Connolly, very shrewd signing. So to be fair to Johnston, last season when Queen of the South had a slow start, he was very, very precise with his signings and very creative. He managed to get all these different players in from different places that just fitted into a really good sort of varied style of team, good to watch. And hopefully with time he can add a few more. And
not a bad start, actually. The tricky for them on Saturday playing Kilmarnock, but we'll come on to that.
My major concern with them was really where their goals were going to come from. So when I saw that they'd scored, I was half surprised, half not, that Willie Gibson had popped up again. But it's just across the course of the season, I think that's why I had them quite low down, if I recall, ninth. And I think it maybe showed there that Partick had the bigger goal threats in Graham and Tiffany. Mm-hmm. That, you know, you look at that team and you can see who's going to score for Partick. Look at that Queen of South team and I'm not as convinced they've got as many players.
How sugarly, James, was Brian Rice's jacket after 65 minutes on Saturday?
I would still say not at all, because I don't know why he's been given the job as they were getting relegated. He's been handed a longer contract. Weren't good in the Premiership, but
to be fair, I think
anyone else's quote would have been on a sugarly peg, certainly.
He's brought in McMahon and Andy Ryan, who's made a difference at half-time, then he's obviously, with 50 minutes to go, just like shoehorned Templeton off the bench and just rolled him on the pitch and said, like, do what you can for 15 minutes.
Please do something.
And what an impact he's had, to be fair. So that's almost like a win for Hamilton, isn't it? In terms of confidence going into the next game. And it's going to be interesting to see a Rafe bounce back away to Inverness. But Berger got brought in for his experience, didn't he? And see, at 4-0 up with 25 minutes to go, how, like, and I know him again, like swashbuckling football, but 4-2, you're not just batting in the hatches and just even bring on Tom Lang or Mackay or something.
Yeah, because the goals, looking at the minutes just now, goals scored on 68, 78, 83, 90 plus 2. So like you say, once that second one goes on 78, you're like, right, not that long left. Let's just slow the game down. Let's get some boys like down injured.
He took off Lewis Vaughan for Riley Snow, who I know you've seen him, you quite like him, but then he got sent for an ice cream for, I think, was it the third goal by Temple, and I think he had to pay to get back in. So he's
I saw him come in for the start and he was just in front of the back four and he looked like that was him because he could get up to speed. I wouldn't want to be put on to hold like the midfield and try and link things, and also probably be a spark to try and inject some fresh legs in it as well. Mm-hmm. But it's yeah, you need, from an experienced manager, you need to break the game up a wee bit more. And Berra was on the telly, I think, for the Hearts game, and he was asked, oh, what happened? He was like, yeah, it's just a bad 15 minutes or something. I'm like, right, brilliant. Of course it was.
There's bad 15 minutes, Mazin. There's bad 15 minutes.
Yeah, I think, like, credit to Brian Rice for reconjuring that display, but don't let it get like that in the first place would be what I would, like, try and advise. But, you know, sometimes that's out of your control. And I was tuning in after when I left Cove, that, you know, apparently it was just obvious. You could tell that Hamilton were going to score again. You know what I mean? When they went 4-3, you just knew it was coming. And I think if the game, like, went on for another 5 minutes, you'd be looking at a 5-4 Hamilton victory. But I think, like, the head's gone, and that, you know, when it's that situation, and I think that you can, if, you know, people in the commentary box are feeling that, that's going to project on the pitch.
Yeah. You wonder if fans being back in and the uneasiness the fans were feeling got to the players. And maybe the Hamilton fans buoying up the Hamilton players. So you wonder if that's one of the games that fans in the ground's actually starting to have an influence on the result.
The other thing, the one other point I'd make on that, sorry, James, is just, I thought it was interesting, Kieran McDonald notching two for Hamilton, and, you know, that's his first game back at Starks. You think, like, he's a specific kind of attacking fullback. You almost think, like, from a race, it's so easy to say, right? But you think, like, you kind of know what, if anyone in that Hamilton team, you know what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know he's going to get in the box late, and you know he's going to get right into that last third. You know, you think of all those players that you're going to concede two goals to, you think,
Just before we move on, James, did you have something to say to that?
I don't know. I thought Andy Ryan had signed on again with Stirling, or I don't know if they were pursuing extending contracts. But
he'd signed on, and he had a clause in his contract that if a full-time team bid a certain amount, then he was free to go and talk to them. And from what I heard, Hamilton just met that, so Stirling didn't have a decision. He'd got that, because remember we were making a song and dance about how good a bit of business by Stirling it was to extend him. But obviously he's dropped that in to protect himself, and at least Stirling.
When you said that point's as good money. As it went, that whatever they've paid. Contract, like, fees as well as wages for Andy Ryan's, like, he'll do that all the time. No. I'm surprised he didn't start. I don't know if it was a fitness thing.
I think it was a fitness thing. Aye. And they've signed Vertanen.
Score, like, of course, aye. That's what he does.
Signed Vertanen today.
Shows you how good it was at Stirling as well.
Aye. And a bit of steel with Mikko Vertanen from Aberdeen, actually, by Hamilton. That's another good bit of business. 2-year deal for him. I really liked him at Arbroath before he was solid. Yeah. So just rattling through the other ones, relatively predictable, wasn't it? I think everybody saw Kilmarnock win against Ayr, and they were kind of duly dispatched, weren't they? Arbroath losing 1-0 to Cali Thistle, I think, again, it's not the biggest surprise, and a draw at Morton Dunfermline, which looked a pretty open game, actually. And Morton probably would have taken a draw, wouldn't they? Before the game with Dunfermline, one of their favourites, to go up and with them, being 1-0 and then going 2-1 down. Gus McPherson will be happy, Muzz, that they've come back. Kind of, I think it was 80th minute, 81st minute or something to get a point.
Yeah, be happy enough that they were able to show a bit of resilience and keep going, come back into that game against one of those teams that we probably all reckon are going to be up there. So I think, it's very early days again, but original predictions about Morton, you know, they are always going to be hard to beat, I think, and they've retained a decent core of players.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they could. Gus McPherson finally getting a bit more time to implement the style that he wants to implement. So, which I think is a 4-3-3 kind of thing that they were playing in the tail end of last season. So, yeah, they might just do the same again or go one better, and more than treading water, they might consolidate themselves back in the league, mid patch of the league. We'll see, but it's a good start. You want me to rattle through the predictions for next week for Arbroath? I'm going to go draw.
Dunfermline Partick.
It'd
be five draws, I think.
I think that'll be Dunfermline, and I think it might be like a 3-2.
It was 4-2 in the Betfred, wasn't it, at Partick to Dunfermline?
I think Dunfermline will beat them again.
Hamilton Morton.
Hamilton.
Inverness Wraith.
Wraith.
And Queen of the South Kelly.
tell you what, Queen of the South.
That's bro. You can justify that next week. James, era, bro.
I'm going to bro for that one, I think.
I'm going to go air. I'm going to go air. Dunfermline Partick, James?
Partick.
I'm going draw. So the first two games, we've all backed a different team result, basically. Hamilton Morton, James? That's the championship in a nutshell, isn't it?
Good Hamilton here.
I'm going Hamilton as well, so that's the banker from us, which means Morton will win. Inverness, Wraith?
Inverness.
I'm going draw, so again, different predictions. Queen of South, Kelly?
Kelly for me.
I'm backing Kelly all doing that.
I think so, it's the week of the individual goal scorers.
So for three of the games, all three of us have gone different predictions. So marching on to League Two, just to round up this week. Biggest game potentially was Stenny Stirling, and a good win for Stirling Albion away from home.
Brilliant win for them. That's massive start to the season. That's one of the teams that we think are going to be slugging it out.
I saw Vukovic had said he thought last season they'd either have drawn or lost that.
Right. Yeah. So that says a lot. Mm. And really using that squad they had as well, making, I think they made four changes.
Remind me what you said about McNiff and Laird last week, was?
Yeah. I said, I didn't say anything.
Exactly. So you could have been right, to be fair.
I skipped over their signings and then go to Stirling Albion, go and tweet that not only has McNiff scored, but also assisted by Laird. So, touche.
You've got to like the front too, Muzz, of Carrick and Macken. Although Macken stupidly looks to be dissent in the last minute, meaning he'll miss the Celtic game. But Carrick and Macken for a level, a wee bit of it, innit?
Yeah, very intelligent players as well. Good footballing brains. They're going to be a handful for like defences. Just a different way. Carrick's the way he plays comes deep a wee bit as well. Macken is still, I think, he can hold the ball up as well as anyone in those lower leagues. Just when they get on that red card, it's not going to help. They now have the squad, I think, that they can cope with.
He said that. I think the manager said there's. Is it Roberts? I think he said Heaver, BK. So they do have options, but James Macken's the sort of player you want playing every week to get up to speed. So I'll not do his fitness any favours to miss a week. Like he's at his best once he's played 5-6 games, you know what I mean? Scored a great free kick in the Betfred as well, so he was in a good place.
Yeah, for me, you want to keep him playing for his goal scoring and for his link-up more than his fitness, because if it is a straight red for dissent, is reward for that would be an increased fitness session, because he's got no games to train for, really. So
I'm not going to lie. See, when I saw he'd been sent off for the sin, I thought maybe he'd been on the bench and shouted something like he'd been subbed off. Because last season, to be fair to him, he's maybe had a shift pre-season, but last season he didn't play the 90. Very often, although it was 90 plus two, so you wonder if he was just trying to get his breath and he's just lost the head and just because very hot, wasn't it?
Maybe dropped somebody. Maybe said something up to himself.
Aye, very warm day.
Try and get through the next minute of added time, but...
James, you've seen Cowden. Are you surprised Kelty kind of rolled them? It was only 2-0, but penalty-saving King Dan Jameson saved one. He loves a pen, doesn't he? You surprised with the ease that Kelty beat them, having seen Cowden?
A wee bit, yeah. But like I'd said, I thought it could be a wee bit hot and cold Cowden, because like my reasoning had been, I think when they're all clicking... when they're not, and it's...
He doesn't have much to change it, does he, Bowl? And if one or two aren't at it, then he's limited. He needs, like you said, there's 11 to be at it and maybe make changes once they're winning rather than influencing or impacting games.
I think having only made the single sub by looks Cowden in there, it maybe shows that the lack of depth, perhaps. And it's just, you need to get boys used to playing the system they're in, because I think... We'd spoken about them briefly before, you and I, about Thompson playing left-back, right-back, centre-half. Mm-hmm. So, looks to have started at left-back. Is that going to be his position now? And is he just going to have to get used to that? And are the rest of the team going to have to get used to it? Or has he gone out there for, it's little things like that, that it's early days. So slightly surprised it's been 2-0, but also Kelty are my team.
The thing is, Cowden missed a penalty at 51, and it's a draw, and we're not talking about it.
For me, are going to win the league. So it's a 2-0 loss to the you know, the league leader.
Just a couple of results, relatively straightforward. Elgin and Stranraer again, that's another one where both teams would probably have took a point given last season and the signings. Forfar, relatively comfortable, I think, away at Annan, which we all saw coming. Well, I definitely did. Aye, James, you've got the bottom as well. Just the last game we're going to touch on before the predictions. Muzz, you'll be lucky you weren't at Albion Rovers, otherwise you were potentially running the line.
Aye, that was a bizarre situation.
No wonder Gary Naismith's wanting it replayed or whatever, called off or all sorts, wasn't it? Interesting.
Yeah, I've never heard of that before. It's usually been, I've heard of people, somebody, you know, being asked in the crowd and stuff like that if they want to run the line, but to have an opposition player do it is unheard of. I don't see how that's going to be, you know,
even if Max Wright,
fair play, because
even if Max Wright's got a refereeing qualification, what if they'd want to sub him on and he just ends up passing the flag like an amateur game? But I was thinking, what does it say to Max Wright that the Annan boys, the Albion Rovers managers went, aye, Max, on you go, get yourself out and run the line. Does that mean he's probably at least slightly subbed they're going to bring on?
Aye, that's quite a good point. Yeah,
not I would take that a wee bit
personal myself.
In the big game then, Muzz, again, we'll rattle through these in a nutshell. Stirling Kelty. Prediction.
I think draw.
Albion Rovers Stenny. Assuming there's two linesmen and a ref.
Again, that's tough. I'm going to go draw.
Cowden Elgin.
Elgin just, but don't have too much to worry about at the moment after that game against Kelty.
Stranraer Annan.
Stranraer.
Forfar Edinburgh.
Forfar.
I'm going to go draw and Stirling Kelty. I back Stenny away at Albion. Draw Cowden Elgin for me. Stranraer definitely at home to Annan. And a draw in Forfar Edinburgh. James, Stirling Kelty.
Draw for me as well.
Albion over Stenny.
Stenny for me though.
Cowden Elgin.
I'm going with Cowden because it'll happen eventually.
Stranraer Annan.
Stranraer.
And Forfar Edinburgh.
Edinburgh again.
Fair enough. So that's our predictions. Let us know in the comments or on Twitter at TurnstairsF what you think. What we did last season was we did different episodes for each league. So what we've done is we're going to try this one just as a kind of mishmash of them all. Let us know what you think, if you prefer the separate ones or if you prefer the longer one. As always, like the video, subscribe to the channel, get in touch, comments, Twitter. We appreciate any feedback and we'll see you again next week. Cheers.
Here we go.
Cheers. See you later.